16 days till draft day. Today, we're going to look at the best linebackers and defensive backs. Who's overrated? Who's underrated? Who's going to be the biggest shocker of the draft? This is the Fulmarooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fulmarooski Podcast. Happy Tuesday. Even though Tuesdays kind of suck sometimes. We're still early in the week.
Many such days.
Bright side of things. 16 days till the NFL draft. Whew. Man, we are almost there. We're almost at the point where all of these draft stories, these smoke screens, all of them will end. And we'll see which teams finally make certain picks. Where's Cam Ward going? Probably Tennessee. Where's Travis Hunter going? Where's Will Campbell going? Where are all these guys going? But today we're going to look at the top linebacker and defensive backs prospects coming up in the draft. In terms of quarterbacks, there's already one defensive back that we all know that's going top five. That's Travis Hunter, or I should say defensive back slash wide receiver. But right now, we're going to take a quick look at the linebackers. So, according to PFF, the top-ranked linebackers right now are Jahad Campbell, Jalen Walker, holy hell, Demetrius Knight Jr., Carson Help me. You're the draft.
Schwesinger. Adam misspelt it, but that's okay. I'm going to change it, but we're all big Adam fans here. Some would describe us as radical members of the Adam caucus, but yes. I digress. Schwesinger. For all y'all at home, you're welcome.
Schwesinger. All right. Chris Paul Jr. and Jeffrey Bassa round out the rest of the top linebacker prospects. I'm Chris Kostich. He's CJ Medeiros, by the way. Although you probably already know that if you've tuned in for the last year or so, at least that I've been around. 2 years or over. This is my second year, surprisingly. Now I'm thinking of it. But
and time flies when you're having fun, don't it?
I know, right? It's crazy. CJ, Mr. Draft Guy. So I feel like I've heard some of these names kind of consistently out of you. Whether it be good, whether it be bad. You're Mr. Draft Guy. Tell me a little bit of something about these guys. Whether it be who you like the most, who do you like the least, who could be the most overrated of the bunch that we have here. Or, you know, Adam obviously only put these guys' names up because they're the top guys. But maybe there's someone that's in that top 10 prospect range that could turn some heads a little bit. Tell me what you're thinking when you see this list.
So when it comes to linebackers, even though he's the second highest rated, the headliner of this group is Jalen Walker out of Georgia. This man, ooh, that's a bad man right there. Let me tell you something, kids. Listen up real good. When I think of player comps for him, especially like at the early goings, I view him kind of as like an undersized Hassan Reddick, because he could do it all. Sure, we know Reddick now as an edge rusher, but remember when he was first drafted, he could literally do anything, drop back into coverage, edge rusher. That's the thing with Jalen Walker. It's what he does. Now, the only downside that immediately comes to me, right, is that it's his height. He's 6'1", but he's a respectable 243 pounds, pretty solid for an off-ball linebacker. That's all well and good in the metaphorical hood. But he's kind of a Swiss Army knife, and that's a double-edged sword, or in this case, a double-edged knife. I'm sorry, I had to say it. Please forgive me. Or don't. It's really up to you. So here's my stance. Swiss Army Knife players, the reason they're dangerous, both on the field, but to also draft, is they have to go to a team that knows what they're doing. One example of such a versatile player is Isaiah Simmons, former linebacker out of Clemson. He could be safety. This kid could literally line up in the slot. He could be there on design blitz packages. He could shadow the running back. He could do it all.
He was very good. I remember
him. He was, right? Remember him out of Clemson? That man was different.
Yeah, he was. He was the anchor of that defense, that's for sure. Yeah.
However, he went to the Arizona Cardinals, a team that has been coached by bungler after bungler, and Cliff Kingsbury literally just could not figure him out, and as a result, he became a bust. So when you can do a little bit of everything, really bad coaches could kind of screw you over. But as a prospect alone, ooh, Jalen Walker's great. In fact, folks, you may notice that the name of this episode is underrated and undervalued, because that's how defense is in this draft outside of pass rushers. There are some great defensive back prospects. There are some great linebacker prospects. And when you get to that whole Sanders versus Ward thing, what position is Travis Hunter going to play? Which, don't worry, we're going to touch on that in a bit. And Ashton Gentry, and is Will Campbell's arms. These linebackers and DBs, they get just completely swept under the rug. They fall off the radar, and it's not right. Jalen Walker is a dog and a half, and anyone will tell you that. So like I said, the big weakness is just that he's undersized. And he can be raw, specifically in man coverage. And he hasn't started as much as you'd like. He's always been a rotational piece for Georgia, but last season he finally broke out and started 11 games outright. But oh my God, the strengths. He's really scary in zone coverage. And when they do put him on the edge, he has one of the quickest first steps that you could put right up there with guys like Abdul Carter. He's fast, right? He runs a 4.5, but it's not that he's fast. It's that he's quick. He's agile. He has this weird bend where he can just contort himself in space to knock down these balls and even get under the arms of offensive linemen. And he plays, and look, don't get me wrong, he's no speed rusher either. This guy plays with power. You can tell, man. Whenever he plays, just one word for me shows up, and that's weight room. This guy can easily, despite being undersized, he can throw at least college linemen off their blocks, and his closing speed is great. And not to mention, it's effort. It's character. He's a high-motor guy. Not to mention, there was this game against Kentucky, I believe, where every play – this is one of those games where they decide, hey, today rushing the passer instead of dropping back. And he was like in their quarterback. Is it Vandergraaf? Is that his name? I forgot. He was like in his face like every play. That is what I am seeing from Jalen Walker. He's gonna be a great player. And honestly, there's a real shot he goes top 10. Or at least that's what I've seen in a few mock drafts. I mean, it could very well be, and he is very, very, very deserving. So the thing with PFF, right, is we need to talk about Jihad Campbell next, who is their highest rated, and you can see right there, 117 combined tackles and 12 tackles for loss with the Alabama Crimson Tide. Now, he is 6'3", right? He's also undersized, but not in that way. He's 6'3", but he's 235. So one guy's undersized in height. He's undersized with weight, but that is a quick fix. He runs a 4.5 240, and so he's also fast, right? And the way he's evolved as a defender is just insane, which is weird because do you know that when he was in high school, he played wide receiver and defensive end? Yeah, truth is stranger than fiction, yeah. So I guess now
that's probably a high school where, you know, you're tall as shit, so you kind of have to do both. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Like, that's what happened when I was in high school. We had there was one of my buddies was an edge rusher, and he was an outside guy as well. He lined up more like in the slot sometimes, but he was a more sizable receiver. It was about like my height, which is about 6'1", 6'2". I think he was like 6'2". But he did both receiver and edge rusher. Yeah. But he wasn't like the main edge rusher.
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah.
So what I like about Campbell is also what I like about Walker. It's just versatility. That's the name of the game here. Another one with an explosive first step. I would actually argue he's a little better in man coverage than Walker. And you see, here's the thing. He used to play almost exclusively on the edge, but he kind of converted to being an off-ball linebacker. And I think a lot of that is it's not so much the speed, which is there, but it's just instincts, is that he has this advanced route recognition that makes him really dangerous in coverage. And he's got this good closing speed where if you're a running back and you're just about to get past the line as you turn that corner on those out running plays, he's going to come in, he's going to drop the hammer, and you as a running back are going to hurt as a result. He's a really young guy, but ever since his freshman season at Alabama, he has continued to improve. However, there are some weaknesses, and this could be considered a strength and a weakness. It's kind of a double-edged sword. He has a really high motor. However, now look, is that good? Oh, it's great. But this makes him become over-aggressive. He's known to, how do I put this? He overcommits to plays. He'll overrun his target. He'll get that tunnel vision where sometimes it can become really easy to fake him out. And the amount of times I have watched him fall for a play action or even a simple juke move, like, he always bites on the hesitation. And that's something where sometimes you just got to take a step back, really diagnose a play. Those are things that can be coached out of him. And, one issue that Walker doesn't have that Campbell does is tackling in space. Kind of goes hand in hand, like I said, with that whole how easily he gets faked out. But yeah, he has missed some and missed pretty bad in space. But overall, these aren't like damning issues. They can be coached out of them. And he used to be, at least, you know, when these mock drafts first started coming out at the end of the NFL season, he was considered, you know, kind of like a fringe first rounder. But now there is no doubt in my mind that he is going round one. In fact, I would not be shocked if he went top 20. So with Campbell and Walker, those are the two big guys. Now there's another one who has been shooting up draft boards, and that is Carson Schwesinger. He kind of came out of nowhere. I can't lie to you. I originally had him pegged as a early to mid fourth round pick because there's nothing where he stands out. He runs a 4.740, which is pretty solid for a linebacker. He's 6'2", 242. But here's the thing, right? His vertical jump is like 39 and a half inches. That's like the 95th percentile of linebackers. That's like borderline basketball vertical.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking insane.
It really is.
That's like that could potentially be like another type of, you know, Fred Warner deal where you're just so athletic, you're someone that can, you know, remember the interception that Fred Warner had against the Pats?
Yeah, where he just like went
week two or three or something.
Week three, yeah.
Yeah. Like he just fucking climbed the ladder and got up there and got the pick. Mm-hmm. Like that was insane. Like that'd be something that you would love to see.
Yeah, really it is. So the thing is, he's another one with a high motor. And it's like, he's not the fastest, but he's one of the quickest. the lateral movement, the change in direction, just that sideline to sideline range, that maybe not north-south fast, but he's east-west fast, and that is good. However, sometimes he can play too fast, and he's another one where, like Jahan Campbell, which really more so with Swessinger, he will overrun plays. But, you know, once again, that could be coached out of him. And he's not really a pass rusher, like, at all. He's very raw when it comes to block shedding. And once bigger guys, like, not really a problem with tight ends, but mostly with linemen, when they can pick up the blitz and he gets stopped, he gets nullified pretty fast. But he's a good, angry, like, downhill runner and tackler. He's really fluid. Also, I like about him is the football IQ. I would say, in terms of football IQ and these linebackers, he's second only to Jalen Walker, who is obviously the best linebacker in this class. And he's another one that can just recognize plays outright before they happen. And even though he can be neutralized if the blitz is picked up, that doesn't mean – it's not for lack of trying. He's a nasty tackler, too. Just, and the body control is top notch. He's my third. I know he's not in the top three highest rated, but that is my third linebacker right there. I also have to talk about Demetrius Knight Jr. He's one that I'm not as bullish on. He's a 6-year collegiate player, who played with three programs. I remember, fun fact, he was a dual threat quarterback, I believe, in high school. Then he started with Georgia Tech. He transferred to Charlotte. And then, of course, he ends at the University of South Carolina. He's really good. He really came into his own this year. But I'm not going to lie, in a day where linebackers, there really aren't any true pass rushing linebackers anymore. They're all like these smaller guys that can just fly around the field. He's kind of a relic from like 2014. You know, where just the agility and change of directions, just not what you want to see. And he's more content to lay out hit sticks and play with his pads high. Which, you know, that's not great. And also, he's just not that good at man coverage. And even though his straight line speed is solid, don't get me wrong, like I said, the agility's not there, and he can be caught flat-footed. But, oh my God, this guy hits, and he hits hard. But another one like Swessinger, this violent, angry, just like, downhill tackler where he will just lay into you. And also, he's dangerous on a blitz, right? If this guy is part of your blitz package, he can make a QB's life a living hell, okay? And he's also a solid block shedder, too. And while his man coverage isn't great, he can stick to a zone. And that's definitely something that I think he can expand upon in the NFL. And that's pretty much it. I mean, Chris Paul Jr. is okay, but the one that I'm really not crazy about is Jeffrey Bassa from Oregon. So Chris Paul Jr. is fine, and there are other guys too that I like Barrett Carter and Danny Stutzman, and even Smail Mondon Jr. to an extent. But Bassa, for me, is probably my 9th or 10th linebacker. See, look, he's another one that's undersized. 6'1", 232. He's got a 7.3-second three-cone drill. His vertical jump is 38.5. That's nuts, and he runs a 4.6 40. But just the agility is not there for this guy. And also, this might sound weird, but – and Chris, you played football, you know. And there's a difference between strength and play strength. Right? You'd say that?
Yeah.
Bassett's a strong dude, but the play strength can disappear sometimes, especially against linemen, where the amount of times he's been pancaked, that's not ideal, but there's other things too.
Like I think when you say play strength, I think that just is more of a technique thing at that point, though.
Yeah. he can get swallowed up entirely by certain kinds of, by certain kinds of linemen, especially like the taller ones where the technique just, and though, like I said, overall play strength just don't exactly work. But then again, when you talk about that, he's just, he's got good timing, but I think that more correlates to coverage. Another one, he's got good coverage instincts, and a lot of that's because his background is safety, right? And he can play the run effectively, but he's better on like designed blitzes, like disguises, right? Because if you have him blitzed from the jump, like a rush six, then usually he can be neutralized pretty fast. Also, he's a good leader too, like, you know, because he was the, I believe, Oregon's Mike linebacker, and they have him barking out plays as well. You know, like that, that tends to happen. But yeah. Oh, sorry, but I dropped my phone.
It's okay.
But yeah, because, you know, sometimes, you know, news pops up and stuff. So there's that. And also, he's another one where I think he's a dog, you know, just another one who's just not afraid to get dirty. His technique needs some serious refinement, but the motor is there, and that's what you like. So overall, with those linebackers, that's basically my two cents on them. And there are some other ones, too, that I definitely think could be steals in later rounds, like Kobe King from Penn State, Cody Simon from the national champion, The Ohio State University, Notre Dame's Jack Kaiser as well, are ones. Jalen Dumas Johnson from Kentucky, is, or Teddy Buchanan from Cal. Those are like some good, just remember that those could be some good late round pickups. But overall, there's one more prospect that we didn't get to that I want to talk about. Oklahoma's Danny Stutzman. 6'3", 233, 4'5", 40. Oh my God, this
sounds like a specimen.
Yeah, he's a specimen and a half, my man. So I'm not gonna lie to you, he's not a coverage guy. The upside is there, I think, but it's limited. But let me tell you something, he is an elite run stuffer. When you have a guy on the goal line and you need a linebacker, or I mean, if it's like a goal line situation and you need a linebacker go and stop the run, Stutzman's your guy. He has this great, what we call, you know, the downhill trigger. He's just got a natural feel for navigating traffic at the line. He's kind of another one, like I said, with Knight Jr., who's kind of like from that bygone era. But make no mistake, Danny Stutzman has a place in the NFL. And what I like about him is just, it's the football IQ, the leadership, you know, who has earned praise from all manner of college coaches for his practice habits and that pre-snap communication and adjustment. So yeah, he's one that I'm also saying, like, whatever team gets him the third round could very well get a gem.
Nice. That's a good way to wrap it up.
Yeah, that's really all I got. I'm ready to move on to DBs when you are.
Cool. We're going to take a quick break before we do that. This is the Full Maruski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Bull Brewski Podcast. I'm Chris Gostich. She's CJ Medeiros. This is powered by Power 18 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. Sorry for the little hiccup there. Mr. Adam Wright, our executive producer, and I were fighting over the break board. So we're gonna take a look at the cornerbacks now. PFF has the top rated cornerbacks. Of course, Travis Hunter. We briefly mentioned that at the top of the show. Jahdae Barron, Will Johnson, Siobhan Revelle, and Trey Amos. So as mentioned, Travis Hunter being at the top, he's consensus either going to be number two, number three overall pick in this year's draft because Cam Ward is almost but certainly going to the Titans through reports, including the fact that Tennessee canceled all of their visits with all their prospects that isn't named Cam Ward out of respect for everyone, not to waste anyone's time. I respect that. I respect that very much. Just make it clear. You have the number one pick. The cards are on. You hold all the chips. So good move on them. The one thing about Will Johnson is that he missed most of this past year with turf toe. That's probably one of the bigger things to think about is that you've probably saw him for like not like a quarter of the season, really. So it's not the best situation for Will Johnson to have. CJ, do you know what turf toe is? Because I've had turf toe.
I'm not well versed in it, but why don't you explain it for our viewers?
Yeah, basically it's when you jam the shit out of your toe. Like, think about jamming your finger or like say you jam your thumb. Like that's what turf toe is, but it's to a greater extent. And like I've had turf toe before, but to a much minor extent where like, and I was just a quarterback too. I can play on turf toe and like, it's hard to walk, but I was able to get over it like by the next game. So it was very minor, but it still hurt like a bitch. So I can only imagine having turf toe so bad that you miss the majority of a season. And there's guys that miss like multiple games at a time in general from turf toe. It's insane. But what do you think of Will Johnson though? Because obviously you have this kind of looming over his head, could hurt his stock a little bit. It's kind of like a Rob Gronkowski type of situation. He ended up missing most of the 2009 season at Arizona because of the back issues or neck issue, the ruptured disc. I forget what it was exactly, but he had a lot of issues with that. Didn't hurt his draft stock too much, but in this case, it could for Will Johnson.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is with Will Johnson, I'm a fan. I am. And I know the injury concerns suck, but as a prospect, he runs a 4.39 40. He's 6'2", which is really good for a corner. A 194 for weight. I mean, that's good enough. I mean, it keeps you fast. But yeah, the injury, for me, that is the big weakness, right? The fact that he missed that much time with turf toe, which, honestly, yeah, turf toe, from what you described, sucks. And if it's that bad, especially when it's a position you can run around, I mean, where you can't run around, that's, yeah, I shudder to think about it. I really do. But overall, there are some like minor things that I think he can work out. Like he has a nasty habit of when he gets beaten off the line, he can get really grabby, you know. And some of the stuff that flies in college, you and I both know, will not fly in the NFL. And he's known to miss tackles sometimes, especially like as a junior. He will drop his head and lunge, you know, rather than like actually break a player down in space. And there's one thing, this is easily coachable, but there are times where he peaks, you know what I mean? Whereas if you're a DB, you don't want to peak in the backfield with the QB because that's good. But if you do it too often, you know, it becomes blatantly obvious that you're looking for interceptions, right? And he does that. And sometimes when you keep your eyes fixated on the quarterback, the wide receiver can run right by you, which, you know, can lead to a flag, as I recently mentioned. But the thing is, these can all be coached out of him, right? These are really minor issues. I mean, for being a 6'2 corner, the fluidity is insane. His football IQ is great, especially in zone coverage. Just the anticipation where he, you know, with these players making their breaks, where he just diagnoses routes and them to the punch. Now, that is really what you want in a corner. He's a great competitor. He's got these really good ball skills, too. Like, I remember that interception against USC. Oh, just insane. And he's patient, too. Yeah. I mean, sure, he can be a little overeager when it comes to just looking at the quarterback. But when that's not the case, he's able to just stick with the receivers and break on the ball when he needs to. So, but the thing is, like I said, but when he gets beaten, it's a different story. But just in a vacuum, the skills are there. And not to mention what I like about him is sometimes players get passed on, right, because of scheming. Most notable example is the 2023 NFL draft. The Washington Commanders passed on Christian Gonzalez and instead took Emmanuel Forbes from Mississippi State, because even though Gonzalez was the superior prospect, Forbes was the scheme fit, right? That's something you always got to consider in the draft. Who fits the scheme? Will Johnson is scheme versatile, all right? He can be a press man. He can be zone, and he can start day one. There's that.
Word. Tell me about some of these other guys that we listed, and kind of same deal with the linebackers, right? And we'll take Will Johnson off the list unless you want to bring him up again as maybe like a overrated or underrated guy amongst this list. Travis Hunter, Jadae Barron, Will Johnson, Siobhan Revelle, Trey Amos, or if there's someone on the list that you want to throw in there to, by all means, Mr. Draft Man.
So I want to start with the elephant in the room. That is one Travis Hunter from the Colorado Golden Buffaloes.
I don't really know if it's much to mention, though, because I feel like that he's going to just be used as a receiver, depending on the system.
Yeah, that's what's worth mentioning. The big question on everyone's mind, is he going to be a corner or a receiver? Because I remember I was once talking about it with Adam. You all know Adam. We've all seen him before. We were talking about this, and apparently the Titans view him as a corner. The Giants, I believe, view him as a corner. The Patriots view him as a receiver, and I believe the Browns do as well. If I'm wrong, let me know. If not, then whatever. He, like I said, it's just, regardless of whether you're looking for a corner or receiver, you don't want to draft him one way and then be like, oh, surprise, I'm going to be the opposite of what you expected. So for the love of God, NFL teams, do your due diligence looking at you, Cleveland, because I feel like that's where he's going to go. Spoiler alert, but whatever. But yeah, so we already know what he is. He's the best corner of all of them. He's a known commodity. Let's just keep this train rolling. There's one guy who I don't think gets enough love, and that is Jadae Barron from the University of Texas. I like this dude. I do. Pause. Because Chris is going to get on me if I don't say it.
Nice.
Jadae Barron runs a 4.39 40. The only issue is he's undersized a tad. You know, he's I think he's 5'11", which is still fine for a corner. His wingspan, his arm length, by the way, is 29 5/8 inches. It's not great. So especially when, you know, you got to go up there, that could be concerning. But I don't let that bother me. I don't. Because let me tell you something. He's got elite processing. You know, when working with head coach Steve Sarkisian down in Texas, you're going to pick up some stuff. And just the switch release, the back pedal, just the processing where he uses to just knock the ball out and get picks. That, oh man, that makes all the difference in the world. And even though he's small, he's got that dog in him. Let me tell you. The way he tackles, like where he just throws his whole body at you, and actually it's not just about getting the big hit, the way he actually takes proper angles, that is instinct. And you can't teach instinct. And let me tell you, he's got instinct in droves. And for me, I see him more as a zone guy, because that's really where the majority of instincts are. And don't get me wrong, his press man technique is there, despite the fact he doesn't have the best size to be a press man corner. It's still there, but oh my God, the zone, that's what you want. Just the spatial awareness and just the lurk, right? If you're most good corners know, or all of them, I would say know, that you gotta be able to lurk, right? You know, just shadow the receiver, sit in your zone, and then make the play. And this guy does it game after game after game. And it's getting to the point where it's simply second nature to him. And that's the kind of processing that can and will translate in the NFL. And the only, like I said, the weakness, once again, just like he's a little undersized. But overall, I kind of can liken him to Jahad Campbell, where that aggressive mentality can really work against him. And he will bite on play action or just simple misdirections like jukes and spin moves. And sometimes he takes false steps that will show his hand, right? I mean, Chris, you are a QB. You know all about how to get the, you know, how you can fool the corner, get him to show his hand early, you know, so you can get the ball to your receiver. But once again, these are things that can be cleaned up. I'm a huge Dede Baron fan.
Feel
free to weigh in.
I got nothing else to really add on. Hey, man, this is your time to just spew.
I appreciate it, but
you know what I mean. Like this, I'm letting this be the CJ show. Really,
I appreciate it.
I'm just here to watch. But
one guy though, who's interesting to me. That is Siobhan Revell Jr. Or is it? I think it's Revel, actually. Siobhan Revel from Eastern Carolina University. He's a good corner. The measurables are all there. 6'2", 194, a 4.4 40, got a solid wingspan. In the 73rd percentile, 77th percentile in arm length. So that's good. He's got what you want. He has even drawn comparisons. If you go to NFLDraftBuzz.com, super reliable draft website, he's getting similarity comparisons to guys like Sauce Gardner and Christian Gonzalez. That's great.
I think one of those is great. One of those isn't so great.
But, you know, but the comp is good. The issue.
Yeah. I like the Christian Gonzalez comp.
It's injuries.
Yeah.
In September of last season, in practice, he went down with an ACL tear. And he could have been, I think, a top 15 pick. And honestly, I can maybe see him sliding out of the top 20. Because the highlight reel, honestly, I think it speaks for itself, but usually these major injuries like ACL tears in college, that's something that you really have to do your research on, obviously, because the athleticism is there. He's an elite athlete. He's a smooth runner. His recovery speed is great. He plays physical. And his ball skills have improved every year. But the question now is, will that ACL tear negatively impact him down the road? And even before the ACL injury, he really only had one season of elite production. The obvious physical tools are there, but obviously the ACL thing, that is what scares you. Forget turf toe, right? That can be bad. But an ACL tear, maybe that might make you as a scout pump the brakes.
Yeah. It's Much different than Dirk-O, that's for sure.
That's correct. And while we're talking about corners, or just DBs in general, I want to take a quick second before we wrap up to talk about safeties. Two in particular. These are 1A and 1B. Georgia's Malachi Starks and South Carolina's Nick Emmanuori. Malachi Starks from the University of Georgia. Look, Georgia's a defense factory. Just ask the Philadelphia Eagles, all right? Oh, my God. Malachi Starks, 6'1", 197. I'm not going to lie. The physicals outside of his 40, where he runs a 4.5, aren't the best. You know, sub 20th percentiles in the shuttle, vertical, and three cone. But he's 87th in the 10-yard. In the 10-yard there. So that's good. That's good. That's good. But, oh, man. His effectiveness against the run, he's your Swiss Army knife, right? He's good against the run. He's got track speed. That's good. He's got that. He's not the most agile in the world, but he's got that good straight line speed. And for me, it's all about technique. It's about the hand usage. It's about change of direction. And it's about how you cover in zone, especially as a safety. And he checks every box. And he also did run a 4.35 at his pro day, I believe. So maybe take that 4.5 with a grain of salt. But he's another one where you could debate, is he a football player or is he an athlete? And when I say athlete, I mean, you heard me talk about all the physicals maybe aren't the best. But the speed is there. That's what I mean. He does have track speed because I believe he has a track background, obviously. But he trusts his speed too much sometimes. Sometimes he's like, oh, hey, if I get beat, it's no big deal. I just got the good recovery speed. Or I can make that tackle. And sometimes he just can't. The amount of questionable angles I've seen him take is just not good. And sometimes him diagnosing on the fly leads to just a bunch of missed tackles, as there was an uptick last season. But overall, he's good. But for me, the really intriguing prospect is Nick Emmanuori from the University of South Carolina. This man, all right, listen to this. He's 6'3", 220 pounds. Runs a 4.38 40 and a 43-inch vertical and a 138-inch broad jump. That's the 99th percentile for verticals, the 100th percentile for broad jumps, and the 96th for 40, at least for his position. This guy kind of reminds me of Kyle Hamilton and Derwin James. Those are my comps for him.
Okay.
He has that real, like I said, 4.38 speed at 6.3, that just scary size speed combo, just a nasty tackler and run support, great tackle radius, and on top of that, good ball skills, good route recognition, quick mental processing, and just natural hands, good body control, no wasted motion. However, he's another one like Starks that just relies too heavily on his physical gift, where sometimes he'll try to just overwhelm receivers at the catch rather than playing with proper technique. He's another one who bets on himself. And while that's good, you got to know there's a time and a place. Because sometimes you just try to out-physical receivers, especially in the NFL, 9 out of 10 times that flag's coming out. And he can be overly aggressive. And like I said, sometimes he can draw some pretty unfortunate flags. And the straight line speed is good, but the one thing I will say is his change of direction, he's just very stiff in that regard. He's not as fluid as you'd like, but once again, the straight line speed is there. So for me, Emmanuori and Starks for me are 1A and 1B. Like I said, my comp is Derwin James. I just love that. Oh my God. Yeah, Adam. Parko's out to you, buddy. But seriously, I like them both from either 1A and 1B. I think I might be going against the grain here, but I like Emmanuelle just a tad bit more than Starks. But I do think they're both locks to go in the first round.
Nice.
I mean, I would be shocked if both of them fell. For example, in Pete Prisco's mock draft, he has them both going in the first round. He has Starks going 24th and Emmanuelle going 32nd. But either way, I do think they're both worthy of going in the first round at barest of minimums.
Word.
But my one takeaway for this episode that I want you all home to remember is next time you hear about, oh, hey, Travis Hunter or Cam Ward or Abdul Carter or, you know, any of these other storylines, like, oh, can Ashton Jeanty, is he worth a top 10 pick? Will Campbell's arms, ooh, shiver me timbers, ooh, short arms, like that means anything. Or, oh, Shedeur Sanders is a bum, which he's not. Take a step back and remember there's a lot of good DBs and a lot of good linebackers. This is actually a really good DB class, and it's also a fair linebacker class, at least better than last season's as far as linebackers go. So just remember, there's more than that. These guys have to stop being underrated, and they certainly need to stop being undervalued.
Remember the death,
kids.
I like it. We're going to step aside for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the teams who need these draft groups, that is linebackers and defensive backs. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. So, when we talk about linebackers and defensive backs, obviously got to talk about the teams that need said position groups, need said any of these guys that we've been talking about, CJ's been talking about today. I've compiled a list straight from PFF just based off of the position groups that teams need. In terms of needing both, it's Buffalo, Carolina, Tampa Bay. Feel like Buffalo is pretty straightforward, especially when you have so many injury concerns on defense, and they just need a full cleansing on defense, I think is probably the safest way to say that. We could touch on the linebackers first, though, since that is what we started the show with. In terms of linebackers, according to Pro Football Focus, pretty short list: Atlanta, Cincinnati, Detroit, Indianapolis, Tennessee. Atlanta, Cincy, Detroit, Indianapolis, Tennessee.
Yeah, they're missing one, I think, Chris. That's not your fault, of course.
Yeah, the Panthers.
No. Someone else.
Oh, yeah, because Carolina's both. I get. Please.
No. There's an entire team that they're missing.
Tell me.
Tampa.
No, I said Tampa is a part of the both part.
Wait, really?
Tampa.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Yeah.
I did not catch that. I'm sorry, because I was looking at, you know, my picks and stuff.
Tampa, according to PFF, Tampa needs both defensive backs and linebackers.
Well, this is a good draft for Tampa, isn't it? Because honestly, when you look at linebackers, right? Oh, I love Lavonte David. Some people are saying he's a future Hall of Famer, but he's old man. And okay, football old. No offense, Lavonte. I'm sure you're a wonderful guy. Probably is. But I mean, can you imagine Jalen Walker, Jihad Campbell in Tampa just learning under somebody as great as Lavonte David? Because look, you don't have Devin White anymore. He was great, and then he just fell off. So you're going to have to take another swing. And also, they could go safety, too. You know, get another guy to pair up with Antoine Winfield.
Yeah.
But as far as the Panthers go, I don't think that they're They could go Jalen Walker because I feel like he would go first before Campbell. They could go at Walker, you know, but I don't know how to feel about that. I mean, at least in the top 10, you know?
Yeah.
But I think he's worth it, but I don't know. Some of those linebackers going top 10, it's kind of like, you know, going running back, right? No matter how great they are, it's like, you know, really?
Like, you got to hit on, like, a Luke Kuechly type ordeal to...
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, you need, like, a sure thing. And honestly, and like I said, it's not a Walker thing. It's more of a Panthers thing. And I said, when you have these guys, these Swiss Army knife type of players, you need a coach that can maximize that. Because there are so many coaches, like I said, like Cliff Kingsbury did with Isaiah Simmons, where they could just absolutely kill someone. And I don't want that for Jalen Walker.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, especially when another team that I wanted to touch on was Indianapolis and Tennessee, because those defenses weren't good, especially in the run. And when you look at the linebackers as well, at least on Indy's side, like, they still have Zaire Franklin, who had a pretty solid year. It was third in the league in terms of solo tackles, had 5 forced fumbles. Like, but he's also 28. He's not getting any younger. But Indianapolis kind of needs a whole regroup in terms of linebacker. Like, if we look at the current weak side linebacker, it's Jalen Carlies, who had exactly 24 total tackles last season. If he played in, he played in 10 games. 10 games, only 24 tackles. Solo. 36 total.
Yeah.
So you need some help on that side. Tennessee wasn't a terrible defense, but it was kind of like the same thing. Their run game was not, or the run defense wasn't all that great. And right now for linebackers, they have Dremont Jones, Cody Barron, Otis Reese. Could be better.
I feel like whether it's Walker or Campbell, because those are the only two linebackers that I think are worthy of going in the first round.
Yeah.
I definitely think they're immediately going to boost wherever they go, be it Carolina, be it Indy, be it even the Titans.
Yeah. Cincinnati just needs a full wipe down as well. Kind of the same thing that I said with Buffalo. Detroit's an interesting one. Did they lose anyone?
Carlton Davis.
That's right. That's about it. Just quickly looking at their defense right now. They didn't lose Anzalone.
No. But the biggest loss for Detroit, I do believe, is Carlton Davis.
Yeah.
And as for the Titans defense, like it says on the screen, like, they just need all the help they can get, and I fully expect them to go defense, like, in the draft, be it Walker or a DB.
Yeah. I guess the main concern when you look at Detroit's defense, just the injury concerns, especially from last year, that's probably the main thing that you look at. But besides Anzalone, in terms of linebackers, Jack Campbell and Malcolm Rodriguez, they didn't have the most spectacular seasons. Oh,
by the way, Chris, I want to clarify something about the Titans. I'm aware they have the first overall pick. I'm just saying I've heard some rumors that they might trade back into the first round.
Mm.
And if they do, then I definitely think they're going to do that.
Go
they have the ability to. They have, you know, really high picks in every round, so they could definitely – I believe they more than have the ability to manage a trade up. I am in no way suggesting they would do that with the first overall pick.
Yeah. Looking at the DB side, it's a more comprehensive list. I'm not going to name all of them. I'm just going to go. We will just go through a couple that I find interesting or more obvious. Baltimore being one of them. They had one of the worst pass defenses in the league, or they did have the worst or second worst in terms of passing yards allowed. For the viewers that are watching on YouTube, for the listeners, 4,150 passing yards allowed last season, which was second most in the NFL. Did not do good at all last season in terms of that. And that, I think that was a very big vocal point throughout the season, was how bad the pass defense was. The run defense was great. They, like, that was the one thing about the Ravens defense, though. They had one of the best run defenses, but they also had one of the worst pass defenses. So,
yeah,
fix that. Carolina, as we said, both. Cleveland, yeah, that's Cleveland's one that they need to really figure it out over there. Green Bay, I think, as well. Especially when you got Jaire Alexander himself is an injury concern. He's a good corner, but he's got injury concerns over there. That is for certain. Philly. I think Philly's interesting was one as well, because they got rid of Slay. They got rid of Bradbury. I think there was a third. It's leaving me right now, though.
Oh, Slay, Bradbury. Wait. Oh, for losses?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's they traded CJ Gardner-Johnson.
That's right. So lost three corners in that, right? You still have Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, who had spectacular rookie seasons, but you don't know what the hell is going to happen in year two. And once you go past those two, there's not a lot of depth. So there's not really a lot of depth. So they need to really get going on secondary for this next season. Washington, kind of the same ordeal. They've missed on secondary pieces a lot. They do have Marshawn Lattimore now, so that helps a lot. But, you know, they've missed a couple times on corners via draft or free agency. One in particular that comes to mind is their 2023 first-round pick. I can't think of his name, though. And pretty sure he got released some point last season or at the end of the season.
Wilkerson or Farley?
I forget.
Because I don't know if that was 2023, but I know they whiffed on a guy.
I can't think of his name, but that's one. Then you look at the top five passing yards allowed there. Jacksonville was the number one. Baltimore 2, Detroit 3, Tampa Bay 4, Minnesota 5. We talked about Tampa Bay a little bit already. Minnesota, CJ, who did Minnesota lose?
Well, if any. Honestly, Minnesota never had anyone to begin with.
Yeah.
As far as that, I mean, they're, for a while, their pass defense has not been great.
Yeah. It's usually been the defense that's been a little weird, but they have Harrison Smith, but kind of same ordeal. He's not getting any younger. Byron Murphy Jr. is all right, but then you also got Theo Jackson, Isaiah Rodgers, and Najee Thompson.
Yeah, they added Isaiah Rodgers. That was good, but I just feel like they need more.
Yeah. They do have Ohio State legend Jeff Okuda as their third corner, or one of their third corners, but you definitely need some help. That's for sure. Commanders, Emmanuel Forbes, that's who it was. Forbes, thank you, Adam.
Oh, yeah, he'll be fine.
Giants is another one that's, they got a great front seven, but other than that, it's nothing.
Giants, I mean, depending on what the Browns do, I guess they could go Travis Hunter if they see him more as a corner.
Or both. Kind of the same thing that I've felt is that he could potentially play both ways, or like play more so one or the other. And then play more so one or the other, and then play less so the other. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like 60-40, 70-30 type of ordeal.
You have a point. We should, but yeah, no, we're approaching an hour. We should probably
Yeah, I honestly got nothing left, I think, to really say in terms of that. I think we kind of covered these teams pretty well, or at least the teams that I think are more eye-catching in terms of what they're going to be looking to do this upcoming draft.
You got anything? But that is all of our scheduled content for today, CJ. You got anything else you wanted to throw out there?
No. No, I don't.
Cool. That'll do it for us today. Thank you for tuning in, of course. New episode coming out on Friday at 5. New episodes also available on YouTube, Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, you name it. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast. Keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. I'm Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. Thank you for tuning in for another Tuesday edition of the Fumble Rooski podcast, and we'll see you on Friday. Over and out.